Hi guys, Michael here. Do you want a second opinion on your SEO? Head to theseoshow.co and hit the link in the header. We'll take a look under the hood at your SEO, your competitors, and your market and tell you how you can improve. All right, let's get into the show.
It's time for the SEO Show, where a couple of nerds talk search engine optimization so you can learn to compete in Google and grow your business online. Now here's your hosts, Michael and Arthur.
Howdy how. I'm Michael Costin.
And I'm Arthur.
And that was my attempt at doing, what was a little poo from South Park called? Mr. Hanky?
Yeah.
But I didn't really want to go high-pitched. I wanted to keep my normal voice, just put my own spin on it.
That was your normal voice?
Kind of, yeah.
It was very weird. You did the hand motion and everything for those. Obviously, people can't see you, but I really hope you never do that intro again.
All right, I won't, but I'm going to... Every episode from now on is a new intro. You've told me to bring my A game.
Yep. So I also told you that every episode we have to somewhat relate back to Seinfeld.
And we will at some point this episode, we'll drop a Seinfeld reference.
Have you thought about it?
Nope. No, it's just going to come naturally.
Okay.
And then if it doesn't, I'll shoehorn something in at the end.
All right.
But this week, we've got a little bit of a comparison episode because everyone knows that in the AI mania, the feeding frenzy that's going on at the moment. We're being told that, you know, it's a threat to Google. AI is sort of replacing searches that people do. And in 2-3 years time, Google might not exist as we know it anymore. And that AI is going to be used for everything.
Yeah.
Probably true to an extent. Yes. But
well, I don't want to interrupt, but I just did.
Yeah.
Well, Meta's integrated AI into all their search now on Facebook, Insta.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, like, it's there.
It's there. To give you a bit of an anecdotal feedback, like,
yeah,
my wife was on there trying to look something up and was getting infuriated that she couldn't just search for a page on Facebook because it was a Meta AI and you had to, like, go down and click, like, load more or see results or something.
Yeah.
And they fix that now so that it does show, like, pages. But I don't know. I feel like they're sort of shoehorning that into their products. Is it a good experience? That's what this episode is about, because what we've basically done is we're looking at Google as we know it right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at Perplexity.ai, which is a AI-based search engine, Google killer, as they call it. We're looking at ChatGPT and we're looking at Meta AI. So those four, and we've run a few different search terms that people might do through each of them and logged what the experience is like. And we're going to give our feedback on where we think Google, as we know it, is better, where maybe AI is a threat. And yes, we know at the moment AI is very new. It's changing every 6 months. Something new comes along. So there's always going to be potential for some big killer to come along. But what we've seen is not really that much in favor of AI, in my opinion anyway. But yeah. We'll get into it. But before we get into it, I want to talk about old mate Eric Schmidt, who used to be the CEO of Google. So he was Sergey and Larry, you know my mates, Sergey and Larry.
Yeah.
Friends of the show. When they needed like a CEO to come in, he was the dude that came in and helped them like massively grow their ad business, blah, blah, blah. And he says, Google is not about blue links. It's about organizing the world's information. So he was just on CNBC like yesterday. He said that.
Yeah.
So he's saying that Google is changing in the new world. AI will provide answers. There won't be a list of websites for people to click on and find the answers for themselves. That's it. AI will be, you ask it a question, it tells you.
Yeah.
So that opens up like questions about bias and like-
Well, you know, massively.
And we've already seen with Gemini how biased its answers are.
Yeah.
Like against certain politicians but for others, against certain viewpoints but for others. Like they're really very, they have the power to be very biased with their results here. But like also-
I think that's a massive red
flag.
Problem.
It's like, a massive problem.
Yeah.
But is it also a good experience to just have AI tell you what it thinks? Well, that's sort of what we've tried to look at with these little searches that we've done.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that it is. So I know he's very bullish, but he's probably invested in NVIDIA.
I'll give you my AI experience with AI and what I use it for. Like religiously after.
Okay. So what I tried to do is I wanted to look, I did a local business type search. I did a like a family holiday planning type search. Mm. And then I did an informational, like a how-to type search.
I might do it along with you because I didn't.
Okay. Didn't and I did it on all of them. So the first one, let's start with a local business search. So Eric Schmidt, the former CEO of Google, is telling us that Google is not going to be a list of links anymore where you can find your own information. You're just going to type in a question and AI gives you an answer.
Okay.
So I wrote plumber near me. First, I went to Google and it loads instantly. You type something in, the results come.
Yes.
In this case, I got four ads. That's first things first. You know, Google loves ads. So four ads. Then I saw three local pack results in the maps pack.
Yes.
Then I saw two people also ask.
Yep.
Then I got nine organic search results, the glorious SEO world, or the local packs SEO as well.
Yeah.
Then I got one ad at the end, eight related searches.
That's what I see. Exactly that.
And then the ads are for businesses that are plumbers that serve my area. And the local pack was plumbers near me. And the organic search listings were a bunch of plumbers near me.
First one for me, Yellow Pages. So,
well, there you go.
Same directly. Thing, but yeah.
So that's a typical Google experience that we all know and or love to a certain degree. Love, it might be like or loathe, depending on your take on Google. But to me, that's a pretty good experience to find a plumber near you.
I just had a thought.
Yeah.
We're talking about how this might affect Google, but how might this affect something like Airtasker or Yellow Pages?
They'd be wiped out.
Yeah, because if you're getting the results straight within the AI, like whatever chat, it basically bypasses the need to use any kind of directory like that.
Yeah. See, coming back to Eric Schmidt, Google is not about blue links. It's about organizing the world's information. Mm. Where we're headed with AI, they're not organizing the world's information. They are scraping it all, training their AI off it, using it all, and then killing those creators that create that information and just giving the answer in their AI. They'll monetize it. And long term, where does the creation of new information come from if people are being killed by Google, like walling off?
Well, AI is creating all the new information too.
It hallucinates, yeah. So I don't know. It's not good. It's like, to me, the potential downsides of this are worse than the benefit of supposedly having AI just give you an answer.
Massively.
Let's jump into the AI answers because we all know a Google experience searching for a plumber. Mm-hmm. Where, from where I stand, instant results, you get a whole bunch of different plumbers. You can click into them, contact the ones you like the look of.
Right. So what's the first one? Perplexity.
Perplexity. AI.
So I'm going to do a search now while you talk.
Yeah. So I did the same search in that plumber near me. Now, I hit a little timer from when I hit search to when the results were being displayed. Because for me with Gen AI, sitting around waiting for it to come up with the answer can be a bit annoying sometimes. So it took 10.25 seconds from me hitting the search button to the results being displayed.
Mm-hmm.
And what it did was it recommended four different plumbers with a recap of content that it found on the site. So it says, this plumber's number one, it has 5-star rating, 30 years experience. It's just rehashing stuff it found on the plumber's website.
Mm-hmm.
Then at the end, it gave 3 times related searches. And then on the right-hand side, it has like a map panel. When you click into it, it lists all random plumbers in Sydney on a map.
Mm-hmm.
If you click those plumbers' names, it will just zoom in on them on the map, but you can't actually click through to a website. So,
or see the reviews.
Yeah. So
it tells you that there's, for example, 50 reviews, 4.9 stars. But from what I see, you can't read them from within this search kind of box.
So it gives its record. And what I found is if I search plumber near me 2 or 3 times, the plumbers that it's recommending change each time.
Well, what I'm seeing here is it's giving me the sources. So it's giving me 3 plumbers, but what it's doing, it's pulling information from those pages. So it's not really recommending it. And I think it's gotten confused because it's talking as if plumbers near me is a business.
Mm.
So it's saying plumbers near me, Sydney offers 24/7 emergency plumbing. I'm probably sure there's a plumber called plumbers near me.
Yeah.
Who bought the exact match domain.
Yes.
So that's a horrific experience.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yep. So you have to wait 10 seconds first and foremost for it to be displayed.
Yeah.
And you can click through to its recommendations, but that's it. And then you're only getting 4 as opposed to the Google results, which have 4 ads, 3 local pack, 9 organic listings, another ad at the end. So Look, for me, that's a win for Google over Perplexity.
Yeah, and on top of that, it's also showing plumbers in North Sydney, which is not near me.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's whoever's using plumbers near me on their site well enough to get the AI to think that it should display you for that term.
Yeah.
So let's jump over to our friend ChatGPT. What happens when we type plumber near me into ChatGPT? Well, 8.28 seconds from hitting search. Later, 8 seconds later, we have a display of results. And it says, to find a plumber near you, I recommend using online directories such as Google Maps, Yelp, or local business listings. Simply type plumber near me into the search bar, and it should provide you with a list of available plumbing services in your area. So ChatGPT is telling you how to use Google.
Well, funnily enough, mine's a bit different. So initially I accidentally did it in 3.5 and it came back with like finding a plumber nearby is often best done through blah, 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 explaining what you said. But if you do it in ChatGPT 4.
That was 4 that I did it in.
Yeah. So it's saying to help you find a plumber, I'll need to know your current location. Can you please provide the city and area where you're looking for a plumbing service? So let's just humor it and put in where we are. So for finding a plumber in where we are, I recommend checking out.
Go search Google.
Yeah. Yep. Well, there you go. That's a win for Google right there.
That's to say, so far Google's beating Perplexity and ChatGPT. Let's see what Meta AI has to bring to the party. So I went into WhatsApp. I typed in plumber near me. It took 32.22 seconds to generate the results. Mm-hmm. So I wrote plumber near me and it goes, great. I'd be happy to help you find a reliable plumber. Could you please share your city or zip code with me so I can provide you with a more accurate result? So I just wrote Parramatta, where our office is. Then it recommended me dial up plumbing services. And it just says like they've been providing top-notch services to residents of Para for 20 years. And it's just basically saying they can do same-day service and that sort of stuff.
Mm.
So it's given one result. It's a random plumber. At the end, it references Bing. So it shows a Bing link for a search result, plumber near Parramatta. If I click that, it takes me to Bing. And those search results, the plumber that the AI is recommending is not in the maps or the organic results for the search plumber near Parramatta.
Right.
So it's just so who knows where it's pulled it from.
So basically what we're finding here is that for any sort of search like searching for a service or business, it's trash.
I think so. But like this Meta one is the concerning one because it's just recommending one plumber. Mm-hmm. And we don't know how it's found them or why it's recommending them. And when you go and look in the search results, there's lists of like really well-reviewed, strong plumbing businesses. And this one-
Well, that's how it's going to work in the future. Like
potentially.
Instead of having Google ads and ads showing up, it will be whoever's bidding will come up in the AI.
As the one response. Single answer.
Yeah. That's-
Yeah.
Most likely.
That's a scary future for businesses. Yeah.
I mean, it's
and
not
for users. You know I don't what? Like it, that it, as an experience.
It's not too different to what I guess Google Ads is anyway, right? Like you could be the shittest plumber in the world, but if you've got enough money, you'll be first.
Correct. But you also have other ads around you and organic and options for people.
Yeah. Yeah.
What this old Schmitty boy was saying is that there's not going to be a list of results.
I don't know AI if you'd be like to be called Schmitty boy.
Well, that's what I'm doing. Schmitty Parmigiana. All right, let's move on to the next one. Cheap family holiday in Europe.
Yep.
That's the keyword because people, you know, they want to find cheap options. So if I go to Google and type cheap family holiday in Europe, hit enter, bang, the results are there.
Mm-hmm.
What I saw, the first result was a Kids Spot article where a mum saved 10K. $10,000.
Yeah, that's what I see.
Pretty good, saving 10 grand on your cheap holiday. There's all pointers in it.
Yeah.
People also ask, where is the cheapest place to holiday in Europe? Where's the cheapest place for a family holiday? If you click into one of them, it's recommending countries like Bulgaria and Albania and stuff. Makes sense. They're probably cheaper than Italy and France. Then it says which Europe country is suitable for kids. So I guess that's not really the intent. But if you move down into the results, then there's a Guardian article on best budget beach holidays in Europe. There's Europe holiday deals. That sort of implies cheap.
Flights and I.
Yep. So
good.
Decent starting point, right?
Yeah. It gives you a lot of options to have a look at different things. Like if you want to find out countries, for example, you can go find a list of countries and start researching from there. If you want to find deals, you can go to Flight Center. So you have the option based on intent to do what you want to do.
Yep. So In Schmitty Boy's world, this won't exist in the future. There won't be links. It's just AI will give you the answer. You type cheap family holiday in Europe, you get your answer. Maybe you have to go back and forth with the AI.
Yeah.
So let's have a look at that world, Perplexity. So I'd put the exact same keyword into Perplexity. It took 9.4 seconds to complete the results.
Okay.
So it gave me 8 recommendations. So the first 6 recommendations were for hotels and budget-friendly accommodation in Sydney and then Paddington and Chippendale, which are suburbs of Sydney.
Yep.
That's not Europe. So
I'm just loading it
that's
up now.
That's a total fail to begin with. The map results on the right-hand side were all showing Sydney accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I said it gave 8 recommendations, so the first 6 were for Sydney. The last 2 were referring to Tour Radar and Intrepid Travel offering tours in Europe, so yep. Sure. And then a Guardian article of budget beach-friendly holidays, which is the same article that was returned in the Google search results. So let's look at that experience. I've gone to Google and typed in cheap family holiday. You get that results that sort of give you countries and options and articles on women that save money on holidays.
Mm-hmm.
You get a Perplexity, ask it for cheap Europe holiday with kids. And it's giving you hostels and hotels in Sydney, Paddington and Chippendale. So The AI was not understanding what I was asking it. So not a great experience. What are you seeing there in Perplexity? Was it something similar or something different?
Yeah, so it's pulling up the sources as hotels here in Sydney. So like the Capsule Hotel, Edina, 28 Hotel. The first like answer it provides, budget-friendly destinations. It actually does pull in like Bulgaria, Puglia, Italy.
Puglia,
and then Croatia. So I guess cheaper than your average European country.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it talks about affordable accommodation, it starts talking about Sydney accommodation. So it's talking about Oxford House and Paddington. I think that's what you mentioned.
Yep.
Budget tour operators. So it's talking about Tour Radar, which has over 250 family tours in Europe, which is okay. Like it's telling you where you can get budget tours. And then Intrepid Travel. Mm-hmm. Another one which offers family-friendly tours, so that's okay. Then it kind of gives you some like tips for saving money, which is like very basic. Avoiding peak prices, obviously. Look for self-catering accommodation.
Yeah.
Take advantage of free attractions, like no shit. And use public transport instead of taxis. So I think most people would know that already, so it's not very useful.
Mm.
But then it's got the related, like you said, what are some – affordable family-friendly destinations in Europe. So you can click into that. Whether or not it's very slow, like you said.
You got to sit there and wait for it to generate after it telling you to go to Sydney hotels for a cheap family holiday in Europe.
Yeah. So for that search for family-friendly destinations, the first thing is Europe Grill, which is, I think, a restaurant here in Newtown.
Yeah.
So again, wrong.
Now, Perplexity is new. It will get better, but...
But it's not, you wouldn't use this. Like this is not.
It's a horrible experience. Like just the time, like waiting 10 seconds for results to show.
Look shocked there. Like,
hey, you ready for something shocking? No. ChatGPT took 25 seconds.
Well, I think that results. Might be your internet connection. Let me try.
No, it's from when you click generate and it starts writing. You got to sit there and watch it write for 25 seconds.
I'm going to put my timer on and you can talk about it. I'll do that.
I did cheap family holiday in Europe and it goes, finding a budget-friendly family holiday in Europe can be both exciting and economical. So you got to deal with its annoying like waffle that ChatGPT is fond of. So what it recommended was a few countries. Portugal, that's cheap, apparently. Mm-hmm. Greece. Now, it does say going to the less popular islands rather than Santorini or Mykonos. Sure, but I wouldn't say Greek islands are a budget-friendly holiday for a family at all.
Mm-hmm.
Croatia, Bulgaria, Czech Republic. So it's saying beyond Prague, go to other cities. I can't even pronounce it. Český Krumlov or something. Bulgaria, sure. So that would be cheap. And then it's saying tips, travel off peak, book in advance, go self-catering, take public transport, look for free activities.
Yeah. 27 seconds to generate that response. But I think in GPT's defense, you're reading it and it's – as it's generating it, you're reading it. So you're not waiting there for like it's not like a page loading in 28 seconds.
Yeah.
But it is slow. Yeah.
Is generative AI a good experience to search for this stuff like Schmitty's saying? At the moment, it's not. In the future, perhaps.
This is a good way to find locations to start searching for like accommodation prices and stuff. So
yeah.
For someone that doesn't know anything about Europe who has who might not have traveled there or
yep.
to get a list of places like Portugal, Croatia, Bulgaria. Like, I guess most people when they think of Europe will think of like France, Italy, you know, like you said, Greece.
Yep.
They're like the, you know, more expensive countries. So to get a list and a starting point, more definitely a lot more useful than what Perplexity provided.
But if I go, let's go back to the Google search, cheap family holiday in Europe, free scroll down in the people also ask.
Oh, so, Google trumps it. I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm just saying it's not as bad as what Perplexity generated.
Yeah. But just to give an example of how much better I think Google is at the moment.
No, I agree.
Cheap family holiday in Europe, the first result's that kids spot thing, but in the people also ask, the first thing is, where is the cheapest place to holiday in Europe? It recommends Bulgaria, Albania, Montenegro, Hungary, Slovenia, Portugal, the Czech Republic, Estonia. Bang, bang, bang. You can do your digging on that and it happens instantly.
That's probably where chat got that.
Yeah.
Because it's very similar other than like one or two countries.
Yep.
So understood.
Chat was useless. So what about Meta AI? So I went to WhatsApp, typed the same search in. In 8 seconds later, I got results that said you can go to Porto in Portugal because you can walk and it's free.
Yeah,
you can go to Seville. Is it Seville? Seville? I don't know. In Spain, they've got stables and farms where you can ride horses. Okay,
for free.
Apparently, unlikely. I don't know. Cheap, maybe. I don't know.
Unless you steal a horse.
Rhodes in Greece. It's an island with many beaches and shallow waters, making it a great option for families with kiddies. Budapest, Hungary. It has a children's railway.
Mm.
It's operated entirely by children. And then France.
Sounds illegal.
Yeah, I know. And so it's pulling all of that from Bing. So, look, they're good ideas to start the search process a bit more, but I wouldn't want to give myself over to AI when looking for something like that.
No, not at all.
All right. This last one is one where I think AI did possibly a better job than Google.
Yep. I think, yeah.
How to. It was a how to question.
Yep.
So the prompt I put in was how to replace 2019 Volkswagen Amarok battery.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to Google, typed that in, the very first thing I saw was a featured snippet where it's just scraping Auto Trader South Africa and it gives you 7 steps on how to change the battery, open the bonnet, find the battery, remove the negative,
was there a video?
Remove the positive. Well, this is just the featured snippet with text.
Okay.
Beneath that is a video.
Okay, cool.
Where it has VW Amarok battery removal and replacement. So it's a YouTube video. It's got all the chapter markers.
Yeah, that's handy.
Yeah, and then it's got other videos below that. Then it has 4 people also ask, 5 organic results. 1 is on how to do it. 3 is for purchasing batteries. 1 is for a Facebook owners group for Amarok.
Pretty good.
Then there's 3 images, 1 sponsored ad at the end, 4 related searches. So that's bang.
Good.
Like if you're confident enough with tools and all that, it's telling you to use, you know, 12 mil spanner.
Yep.
Remove, it's just a text rundown of how to do it. Bang.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
But then you get the video.
Yep.
Demonstrating how to do it.
Yep.
Then you've got your results organic with like a site that has instructions on how to do it. And then if you need to replace it, options to buy the battery.
Yes.
And then a group if you need to like potentially ask questions. So you can't ask for more than that. Like that's perfect.
And it happens instantly when you search it.
Yeah.
So let's go to Perplexity AI. It took them 6 seconds to render the results. So that was the quickest that they achieved in all of these. So it gives a nice, concise text explainer where it gives you 9 steps on how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Quite similar to Google in that it's saying use a 12 mil socket to remove it, remove a 10 mil spanner to remove the bracket. So all very good. To the right, it also has YouTube videos, the same YouTube videos as the Google search result.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has sources for that, which are all how-to guides that you can click through to. And then just images of where the batteries are in the engine bay. So I thought like the reason I thought this one's good is the featured snippet for Google, the steps are very concise. Mm. Open the bonnet, locate battery, use 12 mil to remove negative, unclip positive, remove the bracket, exchange battery, assemble in reverse. Whereas if you go into Perplexity, it's explaining why you might remove the negative first. And you've got to install the battery the right way around. So it sort of gives you a bit more context. And it also has a video there. So in this case, I could see maybe an argument for Perplexity being better. But again, it takes 6 seconds to render results and Google experience is pretty good. ChatGPT, 33.3 seconds to render results. You get the usual painful opening and closing paragraphs where it just adds waffle. Quite long step-by-step instructions, but there's no references, there's no photos or videos. It's just a text explainer. So ChatGPT is not the right one.
Mm-hmm.
Meta, 15 seconds to render results, generic results, no reference to spanner sizes, no references to any sources or links to Bing or anything with that one. So Perplexity holds up to Google. So either of them, I would say, are good. So maybe in this case, Schmitty Boy's future where there is no list of links. You just get told what to do by AI.
Yep.
In this case, maybe. But in the earlier two examples,
no.
There's still a massive use case for Google. And
yep.
I feel humans like us want the experience Google's giving.
Yeah.
At this point in time.
So I'll tell you the way I use AI, ChatGPT.
Sure.
Yeah, you sound excited.
Sure. Show me.
Thank
tell
you.
Me. Tell us.
So basically, I guess I use it in the polar opposite. So when I don't want to sit there and sift through stuff, like I'll give you some examples of searches that I've done like in the last couple of days. So
yep.
Google Ads API performance, how to integrate Google Ads API, like Ajax form tracking with GTM.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it will like ChatGPT-4 is smart enough to actually provide instructions and is up to date that it can instruct you on how to do something without you having to go there and sift through potentially like garbage, rubbish articles, outdated articles, which are, you know, for anyone that's doing marketing, everything gets outdated like that. So it gives you up-to-date information that you can just follow.
Yep.
I used it to like develop specific keys for things. And yeah, like it's a good way to kind of get information without having to go through the tedious process. Technical. You know, creating formulas for Google Sheets or like assisting with creating an algorithm, you know, or like weighting specific things. So that's where I think the value lies in AI, like as an assistant, like a PA basically.
Do you think it gets to the point, we've spoken about this before, where you just rely on whatever it tells you for searches like Cheap Europe and Best Plumber, want to do searching, like sort of figure stuff out?
Well, yourself? I want to do searching. I can't speak for everyone else.
Yeah.
I think that it's perfect for what I mentioned before, but when it comes to searching for like holidays, products, opinions, stuff like that.
Services,
you should have the option to have a look and see. So like if generative AI was to provide you with the top 10 rated plumbers in Sydney, that's not a bad result.
But Perplexity tries to do that.
It
gives you four for plumbers, but they change each time you do it and it's just based on random text that it pulls from the page. It's not actually figuring out what the best is.
Yeah, but I mean like in the future when it can actually accurately like determine which are the top 10, whether it's based on ratings or a combination of like authority, how long they've been around, how many reviews they have, and then actually give you the top 10 in your location, that's not a bad experience.
No.
So
where do you see it heading? Like, do you think normal SEO will, when you just said then authority, reviews, how long it's been around, like some of that stuff is crossover with normal SEO.
Yeah. It would probably be like SEO will still be SEO, but it'll just change, it will evolve. So like rather than trying to rank first, you'll be trying to appear in the
one of the lists, one of the options in the list.
Basically, that's the way I see it. And then Google Ads will be the same thing. Like you'd be bidding to be at the top of the list. Like, and yeah, it's not as long as, like we talked about this again before we recorded, as long as you're getting options and it's not just bias and just providing you with one result. Like if you were to search for best lawyer in Sydney and it just gave you, this is the best lawyer in Sydney and it's someone that's just bid to be there, that isn't a good result.
Yes.
So as long as it's giving you options, then I think it will like improve the search experience ultimately.
Time will tell. The only thing is I just don't think sitting around waiting seconds for stuff to generate is ever.
Well, that will change. So
yeah.
Quantum computing. The other thing is that when you're doing searches for like products, like, and we talked about this before, like whenever I shop for shoes, I like looking at like, you know, I go to men's sneakers, whatever, like search by brand, search whatever. And I like to scroll through to see what there is. Like, I don't want Google to say, here, this is the perfect shoe for you, because I want to see what else to compare it to.
Yep.
So again, like unless it's giving me an option, I still prefer the old fashioned way. But I mean, you know, people change, things change. Like,
yeah, yeah. Oh, look, there's
people were
we're
against,
in the very early days of this stuff, and it could become amazing.
People were against debit cards and whatever back in the day, and like ATMs, and they'll like, I want to go to a real person, and now ATMs are getting made redundant. So like,
yep,
stuff changes. So
absolutely,
this will probably, this is just the beginning.
Yep.
It's not ready at all. No. I think it's far off. Like, I think it's still years away before it becomes.
It's being shoehorned, like AI is being shoehorned into everything. Like, I feel the meta, and like you see it in Messenger.
It's just a hot topic.
I don't use it. Would you ever use that? Like,
no. The only time I used the meta AI was to generate ridiculous images of like ducks and stuff to send to friends as like memes. But not for anything useful.
Like, chat is useful for grunt work.
Yep.
But as it comes to search, for now, Google's winning. Classic. It's like classic Coke. Classic Coke's winning. And I don't know
that. You're a Pepsi Max person.
Yes. I'm also a cereal person, like Jerry from Seinfeld.
No, you're not.
No, it's my reference to Jerry because haven't spoken about Seinfeld this episode.
I wonder if Jerry's a Coke or Pepsi.
He likes Snapple. Snapple. Snapples.
What's that? Another cola?
It's a little Snapple juice thing that they always pull out of the fridge.
No.
Yeah.
I don't pay that much attention.
George likes Bosco, the chocolate sauce to put in his milk.
Well, he likes Pepsi because he wanted to name his son Pepsi.
Soda. He wanted to name his son Seven.
Oh, no. Pepsi's Simpsons.
Yeah, and he was recommending that the other people that stole Seven, he wanted them to name their kids.
No, he likes Pepsi because he wanted to bring Pepsi to the dinner party.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of wine.
Yeah. I'm a Pepsi guy too. So there you go.
Well, there you go.
We've shoehorned that Seinfeld reference in. We'll do better next time. Maybe we can use AI to help us.
Maybe.
Time will tell, but that's another episode of the SEO Show in the books. We'll be back at some point in the future with another episode, but until then, happy perplexity AIing and SEOing.
Thanks for listening to the SEO Show. If you like what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. It will really help the show. We'll see you in the next episode.